You know, when things start unraveling in society and anxieties start to increase and people get concerned and worry is seen on lots of faces, you've probably seen people with masks and gloves and people washing their hands over and over. Those things tend to get our anxieties up, and when anxiety rises, the first thing I want to do as a Christian is run to God and remind myself that He's big. And God is big. And it's so important at times like this that we get our eyes back on the Lord, because it's very easy to get distracted by all the things that are going on around us, so much so that we begin to feel all the pressure and concern and tension that we see in the news and from our leaders and from people at large in society. So today I'd like to encourage you to think about God, and maybe in a way that you haven't thought about Him for a while. The title of the message today is The God Who Heals. When confusion abounds and anxieties rise, we're wondering what's going to happen next, and how long is this going to take, and how long am I going to have to stay inside my home? None of us have experienced a health crisis like we presently are facing. But if we're to navigate this, if we're going to get through this without falling into confusion and concern, the way the World Health Organization and the CDC would have us believe, we need to get our eyes back on God. We've long known that God is so much more to us than just a Savior. He is that, but He's also our keeper. And the Bible teaches that He's also our healer, the subject of our message today. I invite your attention today as I read from the book of Exodus, in chapter 15, verses 23 to 26 is our text, but to start with, I'm only going to be using verse 26. Listen as I read. The Bible says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Interesting, the phrase at the end of the verse, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." God, to the Old Testament Israelites, was their healer. But it didn't end in the Old Testament. The Bible teaches in the New Testament that Jesus came as the great physician. And of the over 35 miracles that are recorded for us in the New Testament, Jesus demonstrated time and time again that He is the healer. So God would have you to know, both in ancient times and in the time of Jesus, right up to the present day, He is the God who heals, because He is a God who doesn't change. In our modern day, we've gotten away from the fact that God is our healer or that we need His help to heal. But now is a perfect time to be reminded that He is indeed our healer. As you think about your own health and your own concerns for your family, I want you to be reminded today that God is our healer. He's still the great physician, and He is still making house calls. When does God make a house call? When does He come to our aid? First of all, consider this, that He is available as your great physician when you are sick. Whether it's a cold, an infection, a virus, we've all found ourselves at one time or another on a sick bed. And if you're standing on your own two feet, maybe you're seated right now, but if you're seated or standing again, it's because God healed you. The Bible says in Psalm 103, in verse number 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Do you realize that every time you get well after some sickness or disease, it's because the Lord let your body heal? God is the author of all healing. Everything that's wrong about this planet really can be posted right back on our own shoulders. All sickness and disease is ultimately part of that curse that affected our first parents in that garden paradise when they invited sin in and brought a curse on all of creation. So now this earth is full of sickness, it's full of disease, and it's full of hospitals. But my point is this, because it was our mistake, not his. God is under no obligation to come to our rescue when we get sick. But God did not abandon us in our sickness. Instead, he comes to us to heal us. And he does revive us and give us our strength and causes our bodies to keep down nourishment so that our bodies can fight off disease and infection. None of us would get better if it weren't for him. So every time you get well, you're living proof that God is still a healer. Your God, our God, is very merciful. Now, why don't you think about this with me for just a moment? How is it that God heals? There's many ways he does it. But let's just explore some of the ways in Scripture that we learn that God indeed is our healer when we're sick. The first example would be the example of Jesus Christ. God heals by divine fiat. He says it, he wills it to happen, and it does. So Jesus, seeing this bed fall down through the ceiling in front of him while he's teaching a crowd of people in the house, says to the paralytic, "I say unto thee, arise." And that very hour, the man took up his bed and walked out of the house because Jesus chose for him to be healed. And he's not alone. 10 lepers came to Jesus and asked for healing. He sent them on their way and said, "Go show themselves to the priests." And as they went, they were healed, all 10, in Luke chapter number 17, verses 12 through 19. The nobleman's son, remember him? He was sick at home with a fever when the nobleman met Jesus. And Jesus said, "Go home, your son lives." And it was at that very hour that he was healed. God just chose it. Jesus willed it, and it happened. God is able to heal. God also heals, though, through human agents or natural agents. God often uses agents, even in Scripture, to bring about healing. But it's still his authority. It's still his chemicals. It's still his earth that is producing healing for its people. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. In our text today, in Exodus chapter number 15, the Bible teaches that the Israelites were at Marah, meaning bitter, and they were out of water, and when they got there, the water that was available was bitter. It tasted bad. But God led Moses to take a branch, cast it into the water, and the branch made the water well. Jesus, in another example in the New Testament, took a blind man, he spit in the dirt, made a little paste, put it on the man's eyes, and the man was healed. And then Paul said to Timothy, "Use a little wine for your belly or your stomach's sake," in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. So those are some biblical examples of God using natural means. Now, why is that important? It's important to remember that Christians have historically believed that it is right to benefit from the aid of doctors who operate and medications that they prescribe in order to bring about healing. Because even the Bible teaches the use of various things to bring about healing. So Christians have historically found nothing wrong with consulting physicians, taking medicines, while ultimately trusting God for healing. So God brings about healing in various ways, sometimes just by his choice and it happens, other times by natural means or agents, and then finally, and probably the area that's most emphasized in the New Testament, is through prayer. The New Testament, of course, was written for the benefit of Christians in our day, and after the Gospels, the Bible, the New Testament, is filled with letters to various people and churches. And by far the most used way of healing in these letters is by prayer. James is the example of that. In James chapter 5, in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." James teaches us then that we as Christians today should handle sickness with prayer. This doesn't mean that God is unable to heal without prayer. It just means He has chosen to heal in response to our prayers. We call it the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is complete surrender to God. It says, "Not my will, but thine be done," as we make our request to God. And if we know that He hears us when we make requests, we know that we have the petitions which we ask of Him. The Bible says so in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15. But what right do we as Christians have to expect God to heal us if we don't pray? Let's not blame God for not doing His part if we're unwilling to do ours. God has invited you to pray. He's even encouraged you to pray for the sick. This then must become our first duty, our first responsibility, particularly in the present crisis. Praying for one another as a church family. Praying for our family and friends. Praying for our community at large and for those struggling around the world. Prayer is the first and most important Christian response. Hey, when you've exhausted all other means, there's nothing wrong with prayer. It still works, and it is a good option for the Christian. Years ago, when our Andrew was a baby, we were visiting, my wife and I, some friends in Indiana, and we were seated in their home for a meal. And after the meal, Andrew began to act up in an unusual way, and we could see he was greatly in pain. His body writhed and even at times arched his back, an indication of intestinal trouble or pain. We tried to console him in the house, but we were really making no progress. And so I decided, since my wife knew these folks better than I, that I would take Andrew out for a walk. So I picked him up and I walked out the front door and said I'd just walk around the neighborhood. And I just carried him and patted him and consoled him, hoping that it was just a minor bout of gas or something like that, and not something more serious. And as I walked and tried to comfort him, I also took time to pray. Oh God, I don't know what to do. He's very sick, and what we've tried to do so far hasn't worked. Will you please help? And I remember walking for some time, and I know the minutes flew by, and it was more than an hour before I returned to the home. But by the time I had returned, Andrew had calmed down, and whatever was bothering him had passed, and God had answered my prayer. You know, if your only option is prayer, it's still a good option, because there's still a good God in heaven who hears prayer, and we know that if we ask in faith, we have the petitions which we ask of Him, because God is our healer. Some of you might be listening and you might be wondering, well, if God is the healer, why doesn't He heal me? Or heal my friend? Or my child that has some life-altering condition, why doesn't He do something for them? This really is a mystery that's locked away. We know many things about God, but not all of them. As sovereign Lord of the past, present, and the future, He certainly has a different view and a take on life than we do. And He knows what ultimately will most advance His name, further His kingdom, even when we don't. So why doesn't God heal you or someone that you love? It's not an easy answer to that question. You simply don't know all the facts. But this we know: God is still the healer. He is the great physician. And when you need Him, He still makes house calls. Some of you, though, I hope most of you listening today, are quite healthy, and you're not overly concerned about the future of your health. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you're well. Some may need a different kind of healing. Number two in our outline today is God is your healer, not only when you are sick, but when you're sad. What can the great physician do when you're sad? Well, some of you know this better than I, because you've been through the anguish of distress and depression and basement level discouragement and you feel like there's no way to climb out. Our text in Exodus 15 actually is a great help to us in this regard, because this particular passage tells us about Mara. That's the Hebrew word for bitter. And they said that because the water there was bitter before God caused Moses to throw the branch in and heal the water. But there's more going on there than just the water. It's called Mara because that place is stamped on the Israelites' mind as the place where they too were bitter. Because God had led them through the Red Sea, and they led them out into the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. And now, here they are in the middle of nowhere. They're wandering around for days with no water. And when they finally discover it, it's bitter. But not just the water, so are their hearts. Why did you do this? Why'd you do this, Moses? Why'd you do this, God? What are you doing with us? Why is it so hard? We'd like another Red Sea kind of miracle right now. And so they're down. They're discouraged. But God was about to show them that day that He can do more than just heal sick bodies. He is also able to heal broken hearts. By way of example, C.H. Spurgeon, Baptist preacher from the 1800s, wrote that he had been through seasons of distress that he hoped no man would ever have to go. Another British preacher followed him in the 20th century by the name of D. Martin Lloyd Jones, and he too said he had a spell of depression for over 3 months in which it seemed he was incapable of breaking free. Now, I give you these two examples to show you that feeling low, feeling frustrated, feeling forsaken is a common malady for the Christian, even to the preachers of God. No Christian, then, is immune to feeling sad. Here's an example from the Old Testament. Remember David? King David, before he was king, though, was running from Saul. And while he was away with his men, the Amalekites set the city of Ziklag on fire, burning it to the ground and taking their wives and children away. When the men returned, they're in great distress. David is in great distress, and he's fearful. How is he ever going to recover from this great catastrophe that he's facing? The Bible tells us how he did it, though. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Again, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. The Bible says David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When you are low then, remember God. He is still the great physician, and He can lift you out of your despair. The psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." When the bottom breaks out, then, Christian, look up to God, because He is your healer. And if you need healing, He's still the great physician, and He's still making house calls. There's a final thought before we leave our study today, and it is this. God is your healer also when you are, well, let me ask you first to try to discover it with me. Go with me in your thinking or in your Bible to Psalm 41 and verse 4. The Bible says in Psalm 41, verse 4, "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." Did you get it? See, God wants to be your healer when you're sick, and God wants to be your healer when you're sad, and God wants to be your healer when you're sinful. The greatest sickness, the greatest need or wound of the human heart is not some kind of infection or virus or cancer. It's sin. No disease is more distressing because no disease infects or contaminates more of humanity than sin. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in that sense, we're all sick with sin. We're all sinful. This is the biggest problem then facing the world, and often the last one the world is willing to address. Why do we do the things that we do? Why is it that some people lie? Why do you cheat and steal and curse the name of God? Why do you complain about your circumstances as they are today? Or why do you boast because you're so smart that you're not going to get sick? You see, sin, the corruption of our heart, it isn't all those outward things we do. It's those inward spirits of pride, self-righteousness, anger, vexation against others. We carry these attitudes with us everywhere we go. And they reveal that we're sick with sin and we need a healer. The Bible teaches that one day we will face God. We will face our Maker for all of the things that I've just described. At a final judgment, we'll stand before the Creator and He will look at our lives, and if we haven't been healed of sin, we'll be in trouble or disaster forever. And that is, friend, that is a big deal. Thank God there is a remedy today. The vaccine was already provided by Jesus, and it is 100% effective. Everybody who takes the dose, everybody who drinks in the antidote can be healed. And all the sinfulness that you've ever done, and everything that you've ever considered in your mind, and all the hatred that's bound up in there because of somebody doing something to you in the past, all of that was paid for, dragged down by Jesus Christ, and you have been set free by Him. This is the reason for the cross. Jesus didn't go there because of an accident or a mistaken identity or a misunderstanding of His purpose. He went there on purpose for you. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, whose own self bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So what you need today, more than anything else, is healing from sin. And the great physician is the answer. He stands at the ready. Will you come to His remedy while there's still time for you? You can survive a disease. You may live to see tomorrow, but no one can survive death apart from Jesus. You need a remedy. You need a vaccine. You need a Savior. And His name is Jesus. Friend, we all need healing at some point in our lives for one of the reasons I've talked about today. And I want to remind you today, He is still the great physician, and He is still capable of healing you, because He still makes house calls. Why put off getting to the doctor? There's never been a better time than right now. My wife, Christina, is a very healthy person. She is hardly ever sick. But some time ago, she got sick. She caught some kind of bug, some kind of virus, bacterial infection, I don't know, and it was the worst I'd ever seen her. She had the fever and the chills, and she was unable to hold down anything that she ate. And as the days went by and her body began to become more dehydrated, she realized she needed help. So in the middle of the night, with our children sleeping in bed, the two of us sneaked away in our van, and I took her to the ER and dropped her off and then came back for the kids. And while there, they gave her an IV and they pumped her full of some medication, and she was finally able to get some fluids into her body, and she was able to recover. And probably she'd waited maybe just a bit too long. You know, that's a malady that many people have today, not just when it comes to going to doctors, but when it comes to going to God. Many people put it off for as long as they possibly can, thinking the doctor's probably going to mess them up, or thinking that God would want to do that. here is God. He wants to be your healer. He's available and stands ready for the healing. Why do you take so long to get to Him? Friend, you don't need a referral. You don't need a signed statement from one doctor to see the specialist. You can come and won't even have to wait in line. If you just bow your head right now and talk to God about your need, He's there. He can heal, and He will, because God is the great physician, and He is still making house calls. Invite Him to come to your house today. Remember, He's big, and He still likes to be the doctor. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank You for reminding us of how big You are, how capable You are of meeting our needs, coming to our rescue, whether we're sick, whether we're sad, or whether we're still weighted down by sin. Thank You that there's mercy and forgiveness and healing for those who come to You. Whatever the need is today, would You meet it right now in the human heart of each listener today? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you just think with me for a moment about you and God, your healer? Maybe you're sick today and you just feel miserable. Can't make it to church. You need healing. Will you lift your hand to God right now? And will you ask Him to be your healer today and bring that healing you need? Maybe, as I spoke, you realized you're still sick with sin. There's never been a time when you asked God to take away your sin because Jesus already paid for them on a cross. And if you would believe it and ask God today, He'd come and heal you of your sin, take it all away. But He's waiting for an invitation. He won't storm into your house, but you could invite Him. Would you do that today? Who would say, maybe neither of those things were your need today, but maybe God touched your heart in another way. Would you respond right now to God? Won't you talk to God about what He's talked to you about and say, yes, Lord? Would you ask Him to be your healer? Would you ask Him to come to you today? He will, because He is the great physician, and He loves the chance to show how He can heal, even today. So God, we commit our listeners into Your hand. Ask for Your mercies on their lives. Would You show them kindness and favor today and bring healing where they need it most, especially those for those struggling with sin, problems in the past, maybe in the last week, anger, frustration, worry, fear. Help them to turn these sins over to You and find the forgiveness and cleansing that comes from Jesus at the foot of His cross. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust you've been blessed today by the messages and these songs, and I hope that you'll continue to pray and think about Continental Baptist Church in the week ahead. Remember, what the world is going through right now, it's not just about you, and it's not just about your neighbor, your family. The whole world is hurting. We need to point them to God. So keep praying and reach out to us if we can to help you. You can subscribe to this channel, or you can email me from Facebook or from our webpage if you have questions about today's message. If I can help you in any way, I want you to know I'm available to you. May God bless you till we're together again. Keep on for the Lord. Okay, I didn't sing at the end. It's 29 minutes and 27 seconds. Oh, I didn't.